Welcome to CCC's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Velocity of Content. It's Friday, March 8th, 2024. Today, as we do each week, we check in with Publishers Weekly on news from the world of books and publishing. Andrew Albanese, PW Executive Editor, joins me today from New York City. Welcome back to the program, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
This week, Andrew, former Big Five publishing leaders announced a new publishing venture called Authors Equity.
Yeah, so for years, they were some of the most successful leaders at the very pinnacle of the trade publishing business, the big trade publishing business too. But now, in their next act, they hope to be agents of change. At least that's the gist from a March 5th launch announcement for their new company, as you say, called Authors Equity. Company was founded by former Penguin Random House US CEO Madeline McIntosh, along with former Macmillan CEO Don Weisberg, and Nina von Moltke, who is most recently president and director of strategic development at Penguin Random House US. With a much anticipated media blitz, we've kind of known this was coming for a while, or an announcement like this was coming. The three executives officially launched the new publishing venture. But I have to say, at this point, details remain pretty scarce about how exactly this new operation is going to run. But what is clear is that these longtime publishing insiders plan to operate outside of the traditional publishing business models, most notably by planning to offer no advances in exchange for a higher percentage of a book's profit. Now, that's not uncommon. That is a model which we've seen in other places. It's used by several existing hybrid publishers, for example. It's even a model used by Amazon. In a release, Authors Equity said it had agreements in place for a variety of fiction and nonfiction books, and that it expects to announce its first titles in the coming months. And Simon & Schuster, where Madeline McIntosh actually was recently named to the board following its acquisition by private equity firm KKR, Simon & Schuster is going to handle distribution and production for, as the release says, some titles, although it's not exactly clear what will happen with the other titles that are being handled by Authors Equity. In addition to featuring some major publishing names in its leadership, the company's investors also include a number of big best-selling authors, including James Clear, Louise Penny, and Tim Ferriss. In a release, Clear, whose best-selling Atomic Habits has sold more than 15 million copies so far and counting, said that he, in fact, is going to publish some future books with the company. But Penny and Ferriss said they remained, at this point, committed to their current publishers, but that they chose to invest in Authors Equity because, this is what Penny said in her statement, it's time for a new way of doing business where the author is top of the pyramid.
United Artists in Movies and Apple Records in Music are two prominent other examples of creator-forward enterprises, Andrew, and both of those had mixed records of success. What's your early take here?
Yeah, so you know, I have to say it's really interesting news, and it's very interesting news to drop right before the London Book Fair starts next week, and I imagine there will be a lot of talk about, you know, this new venture around the show, but not necessarily because of anything Authors Equity wants to do or is doing, right, but mostly because of who they are. I don't think that Authors Equity is doing anything that others haven't already tried or done or at least talked about. In fact, you know, we had Melcher Media in our offices just a few weeks ago, and this has basically been their model for some time. And, you know, it's a model that they're going to be doing more of going forward, you know, and it's helped them really bring in some big name authors who, you know, really want a partner in their publisher, right? But what's interesting here is that McIntosh and von Moltke and Weisberg all exited major positions at Big Five firms in the past 2 years, less, right? McIntosh resigned from PRH last year after helping to restructure the company following PRH's failed bid to buy Simon & Schuster. And remember, before she came to PRH, I believe she was at Amazon too. Von Moltke stepped down from her role in 2023, and Weisberg ended his tenure as Macmillan CEO at the end of 2022. But before moving to Macmillan, Weisberg also served in, you know, a lot of other executive roles at Bantam, Random House, and Penguin Random House. So I guess what jumps out most to me is that, you know, when you're an outsider and you come up with a new model, great, we get it. But when you're an insider, and these insiders are from the very highest levels of the business, there's sort of an implied criticism of, you know, what the publishing industry has become, right? And I say implied because there's no outright criticism here from Authors Equity, just a notion that, and this says so on the company website, you know, we know how to make books and we want to do it better, or even better, it says on the website. If you haven't already, check out the company's website. On it, you'll find their stated core values, in which they promise long-term collaboration. I know they acknowledge that larger publishers don't often have the time to help their authors develop their ideas and their audience. They say they want to give books room to breathe and support individuals and teams with the space that they need to think big and think differently. And they want, you know, to offer authors more flexibility and transparency and the ability to make decisions jointly in the best interest of their book, which are all pitches that I've heard traditional publishers make to authors and agents. And it all sounds great. And there's no question that these executives know where the pain points are in the current publishing system. And I guess the name says it all, right? Author's equity shows you where they plan to come down in this, even though I have to say, sounds more like an insurance company, right? You know, get your policy with author's equity. But, you know, look, I'm very curious about where this all goes from here. You know, there's no question that there's a lot of room for innovation and change in the publishing business, especially in this moment. So I'll really be looking forward to see, you know, how this all goes in the coming months.
Another book-selling upstart with a non-traditional approach is backed by cable TV host and drag performer RuPaul.
Yeah, more change, right? This week, you know, Emmy Award-winning TV host and drag performer RuPaul has announced the launch of Allstora, which was billed as an independent, author-owned online book marketplace. And in a release, the company said it plans to, and I'll quote them here, plans to challenge the e-commerce status quo by introducing a new model of splitting profits with authors, in turn doubling their income on the sale of a book, which also sounds pretty sweet, I have to say. Specifically, Allstora says it will split profits with authors and through a wholesale membership model, will be able to offer discounts of between 30% and 50% on all books. Be very curious to see how that all works out. Now, Allstora was co-founded by RuPaul, who will serve as the chief creative officer, along with author and advocate Eric Cervini, who will serve as CEO, and drag performer and actor Adam Powell. The company has a stated mission too, and that mission is to, and I'll quote them again here, to protect, promote, and empower all storytellers through an equitable compensation model and to uplift voices of underrepresented groups, including LGBTQ+ people, women, and communities of color. This month, Allstora will also debut RuPaul's Book Club. It's a monthly subscription service that will feature books curated by RuPaul. And Allstora also has a philanthropic arm called the Rainbow Book Bus, which will partner with local LGBTQ organizations to distribute diverse books in communities that have limited access to books or are facing book bans. And we've talked about that quite a bit on this show. There are a number of communities who will definitely benefit from that program. The Rainbow Book Bus is about to embark on its inaugural cross-country tour with plans to distribute more than 10,000 books along the route. So good stuff there and an interesting model. And once again, I'll be very curious to see how this all works out.
The FTC has an ongoing suit against Amazon over alleged anti-competitive practices. Now, a New York court has ruled that a long-running consumer lawsuit that accuses Amazon of anti-competitive conduct in the ebook market can proceed.
Yeah, that's right. So we've been expecting this since last fall. And late last Friday, we finally got it. Judge Gregory Woods on March 2nd formally accepted a magistrate judge's recommendation finding that lawyers for a consumer class have enough facts to plausibly allege that Amazon's conduct has led to reduced competition in the ebook marketplace and higher ebook prices for consumers. And while some of the core claims in the suit were dismissed, the suit is now going to move forward on two claims, monopolization and attempted monopolization against Amazon. Some of our listeners may recall that this case has been on a long and winding legal road, right? It was first filed back in January of 2021, led by Higgins Berman, which our listeners may recall was the firm that first sued Apple and five major publishers for colluding to fix ebook prices back in 2011. Successfully sued Apple, we might add. This suit, now filed, initially alleged that the big five publishers, that's Hachette, HarperCollins, Macmillan, Penguin Random House, and Simon & Schuster, were somehow co-conspirators in a hub-and-spoke scheme with Amazon to suppress retail price competition and to keep ebook prices artificially high. But in September of 2022, the same magistrate judge that recommended this case go forward actually told the court to toss those cases for a lack of evidence, which the court did. But Judge Woods actually gave the plaintiffs an opportunity to file an amended complaint, And sure enough, an 125-page second consolidated amended complaint filed in November of 2022, lawyers for Higgins Berman were back, arguing that Amazon's dominance in the ebook market has enabled the company to effectively coerce publishers into accepting these anti-competitive deals, specifically these anti-competitive contract provisions that sort of foreclose any competition on price. In its defense, Amazon insists that these contract terms are not inherently anti-competitive and that there's no evidence that the company's conduct really has had the effect of raising commissions or, you know, being anti-competitive for the publishers. But the court ruled that those questions don't actually need to be resolved at the pleading stage. They just have to be plausibly alleged. There's enough facts to support that. So the case is going forward. One point we should make here, though, is that the publishers, who were initially alleged to be conspirators in this, you know, conspiracy to keep ebook prices high, there was no evidence. So they were actually officially and formally dismissed by the court. So the publishers are now out of this case. Amazon only is going to move forward on the claims of monopoly and attempted monopolization. The publishers from the start have always called claims that they were involved in a conspiracy to keep ebook prices high absurd. And in the end, there was just, it was a fishing expedition. There was just no evidence to support that at all. But again, the case against Amazon is now going forward. A hearing is set for May 1st here in New York City. And this case that I think many of us thought was all but dead could actually now turn out to be quite interesting.
Andrew Albanese, Publishers Weekly Executive Editor, thanks for joining me today with your reporting and editorial analysis.
My pleasure, as always.
Coming up on Velocity of Content, as president of the Society for Scholarly Publishing, Randy Townsend has led efforts to prioritize mental health awareness. He is also an associate professor at George Washington University in the College of Professional Studies Publishing Program. In January, a GWU graduate student, Maribel Gomez, contributed a guest column to the SSP blog that described racial battle fatigue.
I have to say, I am so very proud of Maribel. She was an incredible student of mine. I'm really happy to see the work that she's been doing with SSP. She contributed her posts not because I directly asked her. She contributed because she felt inspired to and motivated to do it. Her post right now has received more than 4,500 views at my last count. So her message is clearly resonating. To answer your question, despite the grounds that we're making on diversity, equity, and inclusion, accessibility, really trying to make this a safe space for everybody, there are still aggressions, microaggressions and other kinds of aggressions that people of color have to work through. And unfortunately, this exacerbates the pressures of mental health because you don't know that you belong. You don't know that you feel welcome. You know, is all the talk around inclusive environments, is it all lip service, or do we really, as an organization or as an industry, do we really practice what we preach and really want to support each other? So the consequences of racism are very, very much at play. And those who are victims or targets of those kinds of aggressions, it's an additional weight they have to carry.
Making mental health awareness a priority for publishing. Next on Velocity of Content. That's all for now. Our producer is Rob Simon of Burris Marketing. Subscribe to Velocity of Content wherever you go for podcasts and don't miss an episode of the show. The CCC podcast is also available on the CCC YouTube channel. I'm Christopher Keneally. Thanks for joining me.